Stand by while NCLA cuts through the noise to signal abuse of administrative power. This is Administrative Static with Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione.
Welcome back to Administrative Static. Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione here. And one of the things that we have enjoyed talking about almost as much as the Supreme Court these past 6 months is natural immunity and the vaccine mandates. And there was a wonderful article this week in the Wall Street Journal, an op-ed by Marty McCary, who is a professor at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, explaining I think the headline says it all, the high cost of disparaging natural immunity to COVID. And what Dr. McCary is pointing out is that the CDC has been very reluctant to release any data on natural immunity because they've been pursuing this basically vaccine uber alles strategy is what I would call it, vaccination uber alles, and have not wanted to admit that folks who have recovered from COVID have some natural immunity, and that the data shows that that they are less likely to get reinfected. And in fact, the CDC released data from New York and California earlier this month that demonstrated that natural immunity is 2.8 times as effective in preventing hospitalization and 3.3 to 4.7 times as effective in preventing COVID infection in the first place as compared to vaccination. Well, those are startling statistics, John, and it shows what we've been saying at the New Civil Liberties Alliance all along. We have been beating the drum on natural immunity. We have represented a series of clients who have natural immunity and who have been fighting against the idea that they need to be vaccinated, but or certainly not force vaccinated. But the CDC spun this report, right? It's still spinning. It can't just accept the reality of the situation and the facts of the situation. And instead, it really tried to focus on another finding of the report that hybrid immunity, meaning the combination of prior infection and vaccination. So you're talking about someone who has either was vaccinated and then got COVID, or someone who got COVID, recovered, and then decided to get vaccinated a few months later, that combination was associated with a slightly lower risk of testing positive for COVID. But as Dr. McCary points out, those with hybrid immunity had a similarly low rate of hospitalization, 3 per 10,000, to those with natural immunity alone. So I look at this a little bit like, me and LeBron James put up 40 points last night. Well, natural immunity is doing all the work there in the equation, or almost all the work there. Maybe the analogy is imperfect because LeBron James would be doing all the work if we're talking about the two of us putting up 40 points. Or actually, I should say, Ochai Agbaji and I put up 37 points against Texas Tech this week, since I'm a huge Kansas Jayhawks basketball fan. But in any event, the CDC is still spinning this and is trying to focus on the hybrid immunity, when the finding is really that natural immunity is much better than vaccination, and the combination is a little bit better. So, if you already have the natural antibodies, if you have naturally acquired immunity, there still could be some marginal benefit in getting vaccinated. That's what the data appears to show. But it's nothing like the advantage that you get if you have never had COVID and you've never been vaccinated. If you then were to get vaccinated, then that's a big advantage. There's a big advantage to going from unvaccinated to vaccinated if you've never had COVID. If you've had COVID, not such a big advantage. Just let me finish this last point. The vaccine mandates have refused to make a distinction between those two categories of folks. Go ahead, John.
And for that delta, do we need mandates? For that little delta, I think the legal point here is that,
right,
are they acting rationally? We want to act rationally in public policy. And is the administrative state, by firing and forcing people and doing all this stuff for such a tiny delta, even if they can find it, is it doing what we need in public policy?
That's exactly right. And Does the government have a compelling state interest is one of the tests that we talk about in force vaccinating someone who already has natural immunity. The answer clearly has to be no after looking at this data. But Dr. McCary's point is a little broader than that, getting to what you were just talking about, John, and that's that public health officials, by pursuing this strategy, have ruined many, many lives because they have been putting out guidance and, in some cases, mandates through Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, for example, insisting that workers with natural immunity be fired if they don't get vaccinated. But this data shows the superiority of natural immunity over vaccination alone. And so by firing staff with natural immunities, Dr. McCary points out, employers have gotten rid of those least likely to infect others. And he says, quote, it's time to reinstate those employees with an apology, unquote. But the wider point here is that there's a self-inflicted wound by the public health officials, both in terms of the public health benefits, right? Because all of those vaccinations that were spent on people with natural immunity could have been spent on other people who were unvaccinated and who did not have natural immunity. And we could have saved more lives that way and prevented more infections and more hospitalizations that way. But the public health authorities didn't do that. So that's a huge public health problem. Secondarily, there's a problem of ruining all these people's lives by having their employers fire them when they didn't need to be fired. And we've seen that firsthand with Gina Norris and our lawsuit against Michigan State University. We've seen that happening here in Virginia with George Mason University, with Washington and Lee University. We've seen this with students. We've seen it with faculty. We've seen it with employees. We've seen it with some of the doctors and nurses, John, who are on the front lines fighting COVID in the early days of the pandemic when we didn't have any way to treat those folks that seemed to be working and who risked their own lives to take care of others. And then they got fired later by places like Methodist Hospital in Houston, firing these doctors and nurses who refused to be vaccinated, even though they had natural immunity. And they were following the science, but the public health authorities were not following the science on this point. So now, I mentioned a self-inflicted wound. Now, having fired a lot of these doctors and nurses, some of these health systems are having a real serious problem. In Rhode Island, we've seen this. In many other states, we've seen that. Washington State is another one that jumps to mind. We've seen that hospitals are having to call back doctors and nurses, and they're not calling back, John, this is the weird thing. They're not calling back the unvaccinated or the naturally immune people they fired. They're calling back staff who have active COVID infections and telling them that it's okay for them to go ahead and come to work as long as they're masked. So
you can't make it up, Mark.
You can't make it up. I mean, if I were a patient in one of these hospitals, would I rather be treated by someone with natural immunity or someone with an active raging COVID infection? This is nuts that they're calling these people back. And I understand that there's efforts being made to triage, and they're saying that, look, the folks with the infection are going to treat other people who are already infected. They're not going to treat uninfected people and so forth. But you are exposing everyone to risk. And even the people who are already infected with COVID, viral load is a real thing. I mean, the more viral load you have, the worse off you are, is my understanding of this. And if I had COVID, I wouldn't want to be treated by a doctor or a nurse who had an active viral load with COVID. So the fact that they're still fighting science here and still not bringing back despite the fact that the data now proves conclusively, and it has, frankly, for over 6 months, but the CDC now has released the data itself, and it still won't admit that it's doing the wrong thing here from a public health standpoint. It still won't hold back the guidance that has caused folks to fire their employees with natural immunity who are refusing vaccination. They're still not pulling back the CMS mandate that the Supreme Court upheld this month. And by the way, judges, the fault is on you too, because this data has been out there for at least 6 months, and you're not holding the CDC's feet to the fire. You're not holding CMS's feet to the fire. You're not holding NIH and FDA's feet to the fire. Just because these agencies are supposedly scientific in their approach, just because these are supposed experts, doesn't mean that they should be able to pull the wool over everyone's eyes and ignore inconvenient data that doesn't align with the vaccination uber alles approach that they have decided to take. They are trying to stick needles in people's arms against those people's will, and it's the job of judges to stand up for constitutional rights, to stand up for individual rights, to stand up for informed consent, which is a statutory right under the emergency use authorization statute, to stand up for bodily integrity and some of these other constitutional principles at stake here, and tell these agencies, you aren't following the science, you aren't following the data, and therefore, we're not going to give you victories in court against these individuals who have science on their side. If you as an individual, it's one thing if you as an individual are trying to say, look, I just don't want the shot. I work in a meatpacking plant with a bunch of other people. And it's a high risk situation, and I just don't want the shot.
Or if the vaccine sterilized them and it wouldn't pass on if you were vaccinated, but that's not the case.
Right. Well, and now that's the latest, right? We're seeing that at least with Omicron, we're seeing that the vaccination doesn't stop transmission either. And if the whole point of vaccination is to stop transmission to third parties, if that's the justification, right? It's not we're getting you vaccinated for your own good. I mean, there may be some of that going in the background, but that's not really a valid legal justification. It's the impact that you would be having on third parties that validates that really is the justification, to the extent there is one, for any kind of forced vaccination. But we're not limiting the scientists haven't been limiting their case to individuals in those high risk situations. They're trying to force vaccinate people whose science says already have this natural immunity. And it's not like this CDC study is the first study, John. We're getting ready to put up on our website at ncla.legal or nclalegal.org. We're getting ready to put up a list of a whole bunch of studies that could show this natural immunity. And it's just a shame that the CDC continues, and Rochelle Walensky at the CDC, among others, continue to deny the reality of the situation when it comes to natural immunity.
Welcome back to Administrative Static. This is John Vecchione, and another big news for us here at NCLA was that Judge Brown, who is the judge looking over our Rodden v. Fauci case, having to do with the employer mandate, the federal employer mandate, where federal employees all have to be vaccinated on pain of being fired, has issued an injunction, but he didn't do it in our case. He did it in Feds for Medical Freedom versus Joe Biden.
So close.
So our friends at the Boyd & Gray firm had brought this case about a month after we did, and then they did a TRO about a month and a half after we did.
Same court, same judge, similar plaintiffs, same issue set.
You may recall that Judge Brown turned down our request largely because there was no imminent harm. People had gone for exemptions, and the exemptions hadn't been ruled upon. Nothing was going to happen to them until then. And then he thought we had to sue a different agency for one person. But by and large, it was the fact that the administration wasn't doing anything to anybody till after Christmas, and they weren't saying exactly what they were going to do. Well, Feds for Medical Freedom case had a couple of things go on. We brought up that the Fifth Circuit had the BST case, and he had seen that, which was, they said, no OSHA mandates. Then that case went over to the Sixth, went all the way up to the Supreme Court on injunctive relief, and Supreme Court said, yeah, the Fifth Circuit was right. We got to enjoin this. They don't have any power at all to do this. And the Fifth Circuit had been very strong on the idea that the government at least has to have a very strong cause to force people to undergo a permanent medical procedure like vaccination. And I think the Supreme Court was of a mind that that's probably right. And so Judge Brown had a number of intervening cases. He also had the Medicare, Medicaid, which they did not stay. The Supreme Court did not stay that one and said, well, this statute is a lot closer. So what Judge Brown did, sort of educated by the Boyden firm and by us, he does cite our case in here, is say, well, look, the government says we can't do, I don't have any jurisdiction over this because there's these protections for federal employees that divest me of jurisdiction. And he sort of threw that away. He said, nah, that's not true. And then he looked at it further and he said, look, these people are going to be punished. And I'm not sure, where does the president get this power? Now, he didn't say the president doesn't have this power outright. He didn't say, I find the president doesn't have this power. But he asked the government, well, where, when you become a federal employee, is there anything the federal government can't do to you? Is where in the statute does he that it say you can do this? And they pointed him to a statute that said, well, he can control your conduct. And Judge Brown, I think I think it was pretty reasonable. He said, well, is getting a vaccine conduct or is it status? Is being vaccinated a status or a conduct? And he said that is not fully clear at this time, which I gotta say, I don't think it's conduct. But on the other hand, if you're going to make that argument, you should have some cases to back it up, right? So then he looked at another issue, which we always looked at this. If you look at the statute and then you look when you're dealing in separation of powers, well, what are the powers of the president? He's an Article II. His powers are defined in Article II of the United States Constitution, and it doesn't say anything about this. And I remember at oral argument in our case, in Rodden v. Fauci, Judge Brown said to me, well, what about this law that we had noticed that in the emergency use of vaccines, the Congress wrote out what you do for military members. And in order for military members to be forced to have an emergency use vaccine, what you need to do is the president himself has to issue an order or a proclamation that it's necessary. No lower bureaucrat can do it. The president has to do it. So he says, well, if the president has to do that, and they thought they had to put that in a statute to have him do it for military guys, who he can basically have charge that hill, right? Then I think it's strong evidence that you can't do this with civilian employees. And he's really fleshed this out a little bit more. He says, I need to see where the power comes from. So then he had another issue. Judge Brown has been very careful. And I think the fact that he denied injunctive relief in our case and that he carefully went through this, I think it really undermines any view that he's just going around doing whatever the plaintiffs asked for, because he has now issued two very thoughtful opinions on this. And what he said is that, well, look, can't change. There's all this pressure on them to get the vaccine, and I can't unvaccinate them. They can't be unvaccinated. And I think that given what the Fifth Circuit said and what the Supreme Court's done, and the fact that where the equities are with the plaintiffs, because it now looks, after Christmas season, it looks like they're really going to get real harms here. This is not speculative harms anymore. This isn't someday in the sweet by and by something will happen to them. Something will happen to them now. And so I'm going to enjoin that. So we enjoined it. And then the next question always is, especially nowadays, because many of the justices are interested in this question, who's enjoined and how much is enjoined? And he says, well, I've got an association. There was an association that was a plaintiff that had something like 6,000 members. And he says, I don't know how to enjoin the government from just doing anything to these 6,000, because that's a lot of area of the country. They're all over the place. So I'm going to enjoin the federal government from doing this until this is sorted. It's a British expression. Until this is sorted out, to use the American. So he has now entered the injunction, and it's everywhere. Your correspondent had filed a temporary restraining order the Friday before this order came out. And I will say that all of our clients are served by this injunction, and the government has said that they are going to follow this until and unless it is somehow reversed. So that's good news for our clients. And I think that NCLA being cited and that we brought these arguments to them beforehand. And then there were a lot of developments in between then. And I congratulate the Boyd & Gray firm on bringing this case and then on getting this injunction. So I want to sort of sum up where we are, because I know some people are very interested in this vaccine mandate. As Mark was saying in the last segment, all of our clients that I know of, I'm pretty sure all of them have natural immunity. The class is going to be natural immunity. And because there are some people who, there is an argument, and a strong argument, Judge Brown's, that a vaccine itself of this kind can't be forced on people. And the argument there is there's a lot of Supreme Court cases that you have the right to refuse medical care and you have the right to your own bodily integrity. They never said that about vaccines, but they've said that a lot in a lot of contexts. And the fact is, we normally use in the law citations to smallpox and other longstanding vaccines that do have a cleansing effect. They actually stop you from not only contracting the disease, but spreading it. The EUA vaccines that we have here, they stop you from dying and hospitalization. They're very good for that. And we don't make arguments to courts. And matter of fact, all our cases, win or lose, and many of the cases here, and in fact, Judge Brown says in this injunction, these are not whether vaccines are good or bad cases. They just are not. The judge goes in and says, I think they're good. And almost all the judges say this. They go out of their way to say it. The question is, can the government force a good thing on you or a thing that might be really good for some people, but maybe doesn't give you as much benefit as it give those other people, like for the people who've had natural immunity or natural resistance? So the question is administrative power. Is there administrative power under this statute or that statute in order to do this? And that's what we do here at NCLA, and that's why we're focusing on these cases, because it's always in emergencies where the administrative state is going to try and steal the most liberty and get ahead of the statutory authority that's been granted it or the constitutional authority that it has. And so that's why it comes up in this context. And I thought it was worth explaining that and why these cases are, because what you're doing here is it's not going to. Let's say you like these vaccines and you like, even if you like mandates, they're not going to stop here. Once a legal principle is established, it keeps going until stopped, until burned out, basically. The one I use when I'm arguing cases all the time is say, well, there is one of the main things that has bad healthcare outcomes is morbid obesity. Could the government say that in order to work for them, you have to undergo liposuction, that all of its employees who've put on, 30 or 40 pounds, they've all got to get liposuction? And people say, no, that's ridiculous. But do a mind, think about the theory of it. Well, if you can be vaccinated for your own good, not because it's going to stop other people from getting the disease, that's not the argument. And it's not based in science because that doesn't happen with this particular vaccine. If that's the case, what can't they do to you? And that's the case that the judges are now noting, because all of them that I've been before think that the vaccines in general are a big miracle and have done really a tremendous job at keeping people out of hospitals wherever they've been tried. But the government doesn't make just that argument. The government says we can do this because we can control your lives because we employ you, or you're a federal contractor. And that's another one. There's an injunction against that. And I think Judge O'Connor in Texas has issued a stay or injunction. I don't know how big it is for some military personnel. I don't know how much it covers, though. So the judiciary has been somewhat skeptical of the claims of power. And I think that's where these cases are going to be decided and where they're going to go. So again, we really like the conjunction, the right decision, and see where it goes on the merits. coming. Y'all have a good weekend. See you next time.